Today, I'm talking to the Royal Editor of Hello Magazine, Emily Nash. Now, Emily is so busy at the moment that she literally popped around to my house and we sat over a cup of tea in my kitchen. I think it's probably the closest I'm ever going to come to having royalty or somebody who's close to royalty in my house. But excuse the sound quality if it's not as great as it usually is. But I really wanted to have a chat to Emily. She's a highly experienced journalist who began her career as a news reporter at the Daily Mirror. She joined The Sun in 2012 and was one of the key journalists who uncovered the human stories behind the Chilean mining accident. She has covered everything from terror attacks, murder trials and earthquakes to celebrity weddings. She's even found herself on the odd footballer's stag do, but that's for another conversation. In 2015, she was offered the post of royal correspondent at Hello. Her career takes her all over the world and certainly doesn't observe the Monday to Friday 9-to-5 rule. And that's what I'm talking to her about today. How do you carve out a career and continue on your career path in an industry that never sleeps when you've got a young family and a husband? Somewhere in between royal weddings and births and international tours, Emily actually found time to have two children. I'm really delighted to be talking to her today about being invested in a career that's incredibly unpredictable and has no fixed hours. So I wanted to start with you and your career. How did you get into journalism, which is an industry that literally never sleeps?
I kind of accidentally, I think you hear about people who did school newspapers and university newspapers and things like that. And I'm ashamed to say, I mean, there wasn't a school newspaper for starters.
Did you start it?
I should have. There's a lot of news, my goodness, at that school. Anyway.
That's another one.
I basically decided that I loved writing stories and I love meeting people. So when I realised that you could make a career out of chatting to people, essentially being really nosy and then writing it down, you know, that was me set on that path.
Did you have role models in the industry, or was it literally the discipline that appeal to you?
Yeah, I'd say it was probably more the discipline. But yes, of course, you see women. I mean, obviously, every girl journalist I know wanted to be Kate Adie at some point.
Yes, of course.
And there were people like her who were incredible, but sadly, few and far between. Yeah, I think most people go into it thinking they really want to change the world.
Yeah.
It doesn't always quite work out that way.
Oh, I don't know.
But I've been incredibly lucky to travel to meet some fascinating people and witness some historic moments.
And when you went into it, obviously straight out of university, I'm assuming you didn't have a career path planned which involved kids and you know, what you would do with your career in journalism once they came along.
No, I'm not one of life's planners. I sort of just go with the flow, and I was very much led by my career for a very long time. I think I always wanted children, and it was in the back of my mind that that would happen at some point. But I sort of spent most of my 20s and early 30s just, you know, flying by the seat of my pants, getting on a plane, ending up somewhere, writing it down, filing it, coming home again. And actually, for a long time, my life wasn't really my own, but I kind of loved it.
You know,
you get a bit addicted to that adrenaline, and yeah, in fact, I remember having a conversation with my now husband about children, because he was very keen to start a family, and we made a deal that we could try after the London Olympics. This is
really
too much information. I think this is probably too much information.
Bear all.
I really wanted to cover the London Olympics, and so I think, you know, I did.
Yeah. No sex until after the Olympics.
And then we'll get married.
Because it really is one of the, journalism really is one of the very, very few professions that just never stops and never sleeps. And if it's not happening this side of the world, it's happening the other side of the world.
Exactly. And you know, it started with 24-hour news or TV, and now the internet has made it, you know, a second by second situation.
As was proven in the recent announcements with the royal family.
Exactly. And you know, I think one thing that you know I can say has been challenging recently is this balance with being present for your children and being on top of a story. And for example, when that story broke that Harry and Meghan had issued this personal message about stepping back as members of the royal family, as senior members, I had a kind of lost an argument with my husband about not having my phone on me all the time and left it down in the kitchen.
Oh my gosh. Went and did an
extra long bedtime and bath time
out
of a degree of guilt.
Yeah.
And came downstairs to find 172 messages on my phone. So, yeah, it's sod's law, isn't it, really?
But, well, hopefully not. But how did that make you feel? How do you deal with the stress of, which it must be incredibly stressful. I know myself when I've got something I really need to get done and I haven't, and I've got to leave the house. I've got to go and do pick up or bedtime, whatever it is, as you say, but my stuff is not reactive. I don't have thousands or have many people, millions of people waiting to hear what's going on in my life.
I think, you know, it's a constant juggle and sometimes you feel like you're managing it and sometimes you don't. Sometimes, you know, you can, with the best laid plans, happened to me earlier this week. I was planning to go and cover an engagement, ironically, which involved the Duchess of Cambridge going to visit a nursery school at drop-off, which meant that I would miss my own child's nursery school drop-off. But, you know, my husband kindly saw to that. On the one hand, yes, I do feel guilty when I'm away from my kids, and I constantly feel like I could be doing more with them or more for them, but that's weighed up against you know, the fact that I guess they're seeing their mum going out and doing a job that's interesting, and they're very lucky that, and I'm very lucky that my husband is incredibly present and supportive.
So do you, was it ever something that you and your husband discussed, that you were going to obviously remain in journalism and very high profile media after you've got two very young children? Or is it something that you just carve out as you go?
I think sort of it's kind of evolved, the whole situation. And some of it has just worked out naturally in our favour. So when I first went back, after having our first child, it coincided with my husband having reached a point in his career where he was working in management, he was doing really long hours, he was not getting to spend much time with our son at all. And he took the decision to step back from his public role in management and do work for himself. And it meant that he has been able to be around and do a lot of the heavy lifting, if you like, drop-offs, pick-ups. And actually really enjoyed it, and he has really valued that time he's been able to share, to the extent that I get quite jealous,
really. It's an interesting flip. And I just want to ask a bit about the, you know, that school gate feeling, which is often quite dominated by women, by other mums. Does that present challenges? How does he feel about that?
I think it's much easier for him now that there is school. Prior to school age, I think he found it quite a lonely experience. A lot of the time he would have our son taking out for the day and he'd meet other parents in the playground, but generally groups of mums would be, you know, well established already. And I think that's changed even in the last 6 years since we had our first. You see a lot more groups of dads around, you see a lot more at the school gates, for sure, and hopefully that situation is going to improve as more dads
Exactly. Talk about, you know, shared parental leave, and I think the uptake has not been great on that. In fact, we're going to do an episode on that later. But have you seen changes in terms of your profession? How family friendly or otherwise do you think it is?
Yeah, it's a very good question. Interestingly, on the Royal Beat, you do have a lot of mums. And I think it's, again, because certainly in my experience, moving from news to Royals happened because I was pregnant and I wanted to continue to do reporting and be out there and travel. But the structure of the Royal Diary means that there is a degree of planning. So you can have a bit more control over where you're going to be and when and for how long, and you can plan childcare accordingly.
But you do travel far and wide. I mean, you were on the Australia trip last year.
Yeah, the South Pacific
year.
Tour. Mm-hmm. We just did Africa as well, and there are going to be quite a few more trips this year. Mm.
How do you juggle?
Yeah, it's incredibly difficult. I get myself into an absolute state.
Do you?
In the day or so before I travel. Obviously, always imagine the plane's going to come down and I'm going to leave my kids behind. And, you know, God, all my innermost paranoia is coming up now. But,
I think it's good to hear. We all have it. I almost hate the phrase mum guilt because it implies that dads don't have it, and I don't believe that's the case.
No.
But I think it's also not talked about as a perfectly natural and normal feeling that we have in having to make these choices. And you know, what is the alternative? Okay, we all become stay-at-home mums and take a step back to the 1950s.
Yeah. I mean, I do feel like this career is perhaps a bit extreme because I could work somewhere which didn't require me to travel, but you know, I spent a very long time working to get to where I am now, and I think, you know, if you look at guys doing the same thing, there's never the same questions asked about them. You know, no one ever says to a guy when they come back from becoming a dad, you're not going to want to travel anymore, or who's going to look after your children when you go to this conference. So I really feel that until employers look at fathers in the same way and look at them and think, oh well, they may need 6 months off next year, I need to factor that into my planning, then things aren't going to change. But kind of the onus is on the dads to take that lead
and
force that shift, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I want to talk a little bit about how you handle, you do quite a lot of controversial stuff, obviously with Harry and Meghan recently. And I know you were one of the leaders, or you set up the Hello to Kindness campaign with Hello. Yeah. You've got a huge following on Instagram. How do you handle negative comments that are just going to happen anyway in this, you know, you're in such a high profile?
Yeah, just for context, we set up a campaign called Hello to Kindness at the beginning of last year because we were finding increasing levels of nasty commentary underneath social media posts. And that's where the idea came from. And we spoke to Kensington Palace and they shared with us that they were having the same sort of thing on their social media posts, and we decided that actually as a brand, Hello is very sort of positive. We like to let the readers decide. We would set up this campaign to try and just encourage people to be a bit more thoughtful before you post and just think, you know, is this gonna hurt someone, is it necessary, is it kind? And I kind of got really excited about this because I thought, what, you know, what's not to like about this? And incredibly we got an awful lot of trolling, and it took me a little while to realise that actually, you know, you have to just sort of rise above this stuff. And I did try engaging for a little while, and I stepped back from that and realised that people are always going to hate something, and there's not much you can do about that, unfortunately.
Does it ever make you feel like you question your commitment to to media, to remaining in media?
It's a really difficult one. I think the rise of social media has really complicated being a journalist because, I mean, I was always taught to never become the story, but I think there's a lot more emphasis put on personal brands now. And, you know, you have to have an account, you have to be posting stuff, you have to show that you're out there doing this kind of stuff. Mm. It's all now part of the role. And that, you know, while it does have advantages and it gives you a platform which you can use to for a great deal of good if you want, it also comes with the exposure, which is not always a pleasant experience. So yeah, I think it's an interesting one. I've spent periods of last year sort of really not posting at all, and after a while I just thought, well,
get back on that horse.
Exactly. And there's always the block.
There's always the what?
Sorry. There's always the block button.
The block. Oh yeah. I'd like to get your thoughts on, and you know, some advice and tips from our guests, and particularly for you and your industry. What advice would you give somebody else who works maybe in shift work, or certainly in a highly unpredictable industry, or somebody who's going into this? Any tips or
I think
thoughts?
It's incredibly difficult. You know, you do have to work really hard, and I think certainly while you're starting out, you have to match the guys. You know, I did always feel like you had to match the guys in terms of the hours you put in, and that sounds like a really sort of
it's honest.
A strange thing to say. That's certainly how it was when I started out in news.
And is your industry one way? Sorry to interrupt, but where you know, in theory, writing you can do from anywhere. Obviously, the coverage you need to
be
do
where the story is. I think it's improved drastically in the last decade or so.
Are you seeing more flexibility in terms of where you can be based?
Yeah, so I can't really speak for news anymore, but you know, you're able to Skype into a meeting or you can have a conference call. You can do your job pretty much from wherever you are. And you know, I'm fortunate as well, my employers are pretty flexible. If I have been out traveling around the country a lot, or working late evenings or doing weird hours, then you know, I'll just say I'm not coming into the office today, and they're great with that. But I think anyone who's in that situation, I think the very key thing to try and remember is to actually take some holidays as well, and try and get the time back. You know, if you are working over and above, try and carve out that time back, because otherwise you can get burnt out, and you know, I've seen it happen.
I'm going to play that sentence back to you, Emily, because if anyone needs to hear it, it's
it's a difficult one, because while things are ongoing, this big story breaking, you sort of get a bit of tunnel vision and you just keep ploughing through it, and it's only when things stop that you suddenly realise that you have been nearly running empty for a while. I think, you know, I should probably take my own advice.
It's always the case. Yeah. What would you say has been the impact on your career of having children, or has there been one?
Yeah, do you know what? I think it's been a huge, hugely beneficial to me as a journalist. I feel like I can come at stories with a great deal more understanding than I did previously, particular stories, you know, but it's so much easier to connect to someone.
Really?
I think if you're talking to parents of children, whether it's in a hospital or in a township in South Africa, and you have that shared experience, doesn't matter how different your lives are, you have that sort of common understanding of some of the trials and tribulations and all the lovely bits as well. It's a very easy way to connect with people.
That's a really interesting angle. Really interesting point.
And I think that and this is why I think it's a terrible shame for any industry to be losing mums from the workplace, but particularly in journalism, I think it gives you a fantastic insight, which of course dads have too.
Yes, of course. So what, Emily, what would you say to a hiring manager who's just interviewed a woman he knows can do the job, and she's asked about flexible working policies at the firm?
I'd say investigate it for her if you don't already have them, and also offer it to any guy who you think might be able to do the job. You know, the onus shouldn't be just on the mum to make work fit around her family life and vice versa. It needs to be for both parents. And I think that if people are happy and fulfilled and feel like they're in control of their home life a bit more, then they're going to be much more productive in the workplace.
Definitely, and all the data points to exactly that. So
yes, and you've got that amazing new leader in Finland, whose name escapes me,
Sanna Marin,
who is trying to institute this 4-day week, which I think is brilliant and fascinating. I love that one of the reasons for it was for people to, you know, follow their hobbies.
Exactly.
And I think that, you know, well-being is such a big topic at the moment. The more you can support people to feel good and be healthy, etc., the more you're going to get out of it.
Exactly. And then this is, again, a question that I ask all our guests, which is fairly self-evident, but how can people find out more about you and your work?
Oh, goodness. They can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. Emmy Nash on Twitter, EMYNASH. A lot of Emily Nashes out there, I didn't know.
Out there.
And Emily Nash Hello on Instagram. And of course, do pick up Hello when you see it.
Great. Thanks so much for your time today, Emily. Thank you.
My pleasure.
I really admired Emily's candid answers. She opened up about being trolled on social media, about maternal guilt and how we try and normalise that. And she talked about how she and her husband juggle the childcare and picked up on some of the things that Jennifer Petrolieri talked about in her interview, Couples That Work. It was really interesting, and I'm extremely grateful to Emily. Thanks so much for coming on. Please don't forget to leave a review and a star rating and subscribe to the podcast episodes.